And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I would like us to start by thinking about things that you celebrate every year. Things that you celebrate every year. So one would be your birthday. Do most of us still celebrate our birthday every year? Actually, as they pile up, it's not so exciting. Another thing you might celebrate every year is your wedding anniversary. What happens if you forget your wedding anniversary? Well, just don't, right? Here's another thing you celebrate every year, your spouse's birthday. You celebrate New Year's Eve. You celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Day, Labor Day, Flag Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Valentine's Day, Opening Day, Super Bowl Sunday, the high festival of the American calendar, Halloween, Thanksgiving, President's Day, and somebody reminded me at 8 o'clock of Groundhog Day, which Bill Murray celebrated over and over again. March Madness, I got you. World Series, I hear you. Now, I didn't even mention religious holidays. Those are secular days, and we celebrate them. This is what I want us to get. I'm sure you know it, but when I celebrate my birthday, which is not right now, but when we get to my birthday, I'm not saying I was born this year. We're saying I was what? Born this day. Not, I wasn't born this year, but I was born this time of year. And there's something about saying that this time of year this took place. So there are days in the church calendar, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, we celebrate them, the birth of the Savior, the rising of the Savior, the sending of the Spirit. This week is Holy Week. Not telling you anything you don't know, but I just want to kind of put our minds around what do we mean when we say Holy Week. The Lord Jesus did not die for us this year. But it is the time of year when we remind ourselves, when we meditate on, when we consider all that Christ has done for us. And you can think about it all year long, but it's special this week. Like your birthday that's not this year but happens this time of year, Palm Sunday is an actual day. On a Sunday, we mean this literally and historically, that on a Sunday, the Lord Jesus went into Jerusalem in the spring of AD 30. The Lord Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, and people waved their palm branches saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? People argue about what year. I'm in favor of AD 30. Some people say AD 33. We're not going to talk about the discussion right now, but this just occurred to me this week. The Lord Jesus accomplishes your salvation in the next 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, in AD 30, and right now it's 2026. Isn't that bizarre that in 4 more years, it's 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus died and rose again. 2,000 years ago. I want us to think on this. Think of the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ has made in your own life, but has made to the world. 2,000 years ago, and here we are in church talking about it like it matters. Now, by way of contrast, I want to ask this. Who here has had your life changed by Julius Caesar? No one? The most powerful man on the planet for his day? He doesn't change your life? Who here has had their life changed by Friedrich Nietzsche? Life goes on as if not, right? Who here has had your life changed by Karl Marx? Most of us, not at all. To the extent Marx has had any influence, it's been negative. But imagine that the Lord Jesus is different from every other philosopher and political leader you can name. The Lord Jesus is different, right? The true King of the universe came into the city and people said, Hosanna. Now, I want to throw something out there. Many of you will know there are two different ways that the church celebrates Palm Sunday, and I'm going to mention them both, and I'm going to mention first the one that we don't do, and maybe some of you will remember this. I'm not a fan, but I want to mention, many of you remember when Palm Sunday was called Passion Sunday. Some of you remember that? And on Passion Sunday, what you do is the first half of the service is what we've done so far. Palm branches, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You sing right on, right on. It sounds like Palm Sunday, but some churches celebrate Passion Sunday, and the first half is Palm Sunday, and partway through the service it becomes Passion Sunday, and you read Good Friday, you read Maundy Thursday, you read the death and the agony in this service. I've been told that some churches halfway through the worship service even change the paraments on the altar. It's a tradition. It's fine not to be totally critical of it, but here's what I don't love about it. I've heard pastors say, you should do the Passion Sunday because not everybody comes to church on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. So guess what I'm going to say? Come to church on Maundy Thursday. Come to church on Good Friday. Come to church on Holy Saturday. Don't go to church on Palm Sunday and then pop in on Easter Sunday. Hey, he's alive. The reason I say it is I like to say Palm Sunday is Palm Sunday. And what I want us to do is this week, literally go through the week thinking, the Lord Jesus accomplished my salvation, this is the key point, in time. In time. He entered the city on a Sunday, and he's going to spend the next several days teaching. And he's going to talk to them about the kingdom of God and what it's like to really know God. And it's Thursday when he has the supper. We don't have worship services here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be in church again on Thursday to have the supper. That's the night they had the supper. You see what I'm saying? In time to walk the walk of Holy Week. Thursday is the supper. He's arrested after supper. Friday he dies for you. Saturday, the day of silence when they're wondering what's going on. Sunday, hallelujah. Now, I want to mention something. As I said, we don't have services Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe we should. I don't know. But if you want to read this week, our gospel lesson this morning was Matthew 21. If you want to say, Jesus today walks into the holy city, well, what does he teach them, right? What was he saying? Guess what? You can read that in Matthew chapters 21 to 25. Consider that this week, Matthew 21 to 25. He's in Jerusalem. What did he say? Now, we're at Palm Sunday today. Palm Sunday is celebration. The King has come. The Messiah has arrived. And here's the challenge that Israel had. In the Old Testament, it talks about the coming of the Messiah, and it talks about it in two different ways. And there are many passages in the Old Testament that says the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will rule over an everlasting kingdom. And he'll defeat all his enemies, and his people will reign forever. That's some of the passages. But some of the passage in the Old Testament says the Messiah will come to suffer and die. And Israel said, we want to ignore the second half. We want a king that reigns. They missed it. They were looking for the Messiah they wanted. And which one is Jesus? He's both. That's the Lord we have, is he's both. So I want you to take out your bulletin. We're going to look at our text just quickly, the three. Zechariah chapter 9, Old Testament book. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout. Who's coming? Who's coming in Zechariah 9? Your king. Your king is coming. But most people think, I want a king to come in power and wealth. But this says, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. Normally a king rode a war horse. Normally a king had a big army behind him to say, look at how powerful I am. He said, your king is going to come to you on a donkey. And I want us to notice in the second half of verse 10, it says, he will proclaim peace to the nations. I looked it up in Hebrew. It says he will proclaim peace to the goyim. The goyim, I want us to know that. Because Israel often thought, well, salvation is for us. The goyim is the people outside. This is Old Testament. This isn't New Testament. This Old Testament says the Messiah will come and he will come to proclaim peace even to the goy. Us. Right? That's awesome, right? Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And by the way, Paul says there that we need ourselves to have the same mindset as Christ. It's funny he makes that application. You have to chew on that later. But notice verse 6. Who is Jesus? The Messiah has come. The King has come. Who is he? Verse 6. Who being in very nature God. It's not Nietzsche. It's not Marx. It's not Caesar. It's not a king. It's not a philosopher. It's not a prophet. God will come. Now, what kind of God? God will come, but it says in verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Right? Not a God to threaten you, but a God to save you. That's your God. He came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And it says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's our God. It's really unique, right? Matthew chapter 21. Matthew says in verse 4, as Matthew says over and over in his gospel, right? All these things took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Isn't that the Matthew phrase? He's talking about Zechariah 9. Your king is coming. Your king is coming to fulfill what was said in the Old Testament. And so people, not all, but many people got it and said, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, the son of David, Messiah. Now, here's one of the things I want us to get from Matthew, because Matthew quotes the Old Testament, and here's something I want everybody to know. When the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, it's often profitable to look up that Old Testament passage and read the next several verses. Did you know that? So the New Testament says, here's an Old Testament passage, and it lists it, that sure enough, it's citing it, but there's other stuff there. And I want us to notice this. The Lord Jesus comes into the holy city. Everybody's saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. It was the psalm for today. You said it already. I don't pick the readings, as you know, but the folks that picked the reading had it end at verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so this week I thought, well, what's the next verse say? The next two verses. Here's what they say. Again, bearing in mind, this is about Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 27. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join the festal procession. Isn't that fascinating? Psalm 118 is about Jesus. Join the festal procession. Next words, up to the horns of the altar. And when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, what does he do? He goes to the temple, and he cleanses it of the money changers. You see how fully he fulfills the Old Testament? Next verse, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. That's who our Lord Jesus is. Today, Hosanna. And by the way, when Jesus comes in, we know the narrative in the back of our mind is Good Friday is coming. Our hymns are going to do the same. They're going to say Hosanna, and they will always have the cross in the background because it's there. But for today, it's Palm Sunday, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our Lord and our Savior, who did this for us. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.